Bell's in town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music with Peter Van Steen, and another big amateur contest. New voices, new music, new fun. It's town hall tonight! Town Hall. Fred's leading the band with the gold baton, and the mighty Allen R players are handing out checkerboards so that the audience can entertain itself during the show. Let's find the throbbing song. Everybody's going. Here they come, prisoners.
What are you doing with this coil of wire in yourself, Snag Tooth?
I was only trying to tap your radio set, Warden. It's Town Hall tonight.
Tea shop papers.
Do you ladies want the dollar dinner with fruit cups?
We're not eating, thank you. We just want to listen to your radio. It's Town Hall tonight.
Statesman.
Are you still working on the president's tax bill, Senator?
Congress refuses to work on anything this evening, madam. It's Town Hall tonight.
And here we are in front of the old town hall, and there's Fred yelling with his mouth so wide open you can't tell it from the front door. Let's listen.
If you're feeling low and things aren't so bright, you're as good as Stewart, folks, because it's town hall tonight. Now, here, don't tear off those doors, folks.
Evening, Brother Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Budge. How are things down at your candy store?
Lord, I wish my peanut brittle was as nutty as you are.
Be thankful it isn't as old as you are, Mrs. Budge. Go right in. Hi, Joe.
Hi there, Mr. Allen.
Now, hurry.
Everything's set, Fred?
All right, oh, Harry. Tell Peter we're opening with you.
You from the great Ziegfeld. Let her go, Peter.
You, but you're wonderful. You, love you. You completely satisfy. I'm confessing that it's why there's nobody like you. You, so much depends upon you. Tell me true. Will it be my fate at all? Will I ever reign at all with somebody like you? Just to think that you love me makes my future look strong. I swear by God above me, I'm darned if I don't feel like writing
a song about you.
You, music and words about you, love you. Let me think of phrases for, let me sing of phrases for nobody but you.
Presenting that rambling raconteur of rousing, rollicky repartee and rambunctious ramifications, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before spraying an asthma remedy on the wheezes we've stirred up for you this evening, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, monger of meats and merchandise, is calling your attention to a new shipment of mousetrap cheese on sale this week. Hodge says it's a new kind of magnetized cheese guaranteed to pull a mouse out of a mouse hole at 20 paces. Now, Hodge knows the cheese will draw rats because twice today it's pulled him halfway into the ice bar. So much for rodent innovations in our vicinity. And now for the town hall news. Say, where's the curtain, Harry?
Oh, I'll have to let it ride down, Fred.
Oh, gosh, I thought you had it in your coat. The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. New York City, New York. Justice Jacob Pankin of Domestic Relations Court rules that wife with sufficient means must support her husband if he is dependent. Town Hall News shows type of trial this ruling may make common throughout the country. The scene, any courtroom.
Order in the court.
Next case.
Lester Vail versus Betty Vail. Non-support.
Is the prosecution ready?
Yes, Your Honor. This is a pitiful case. This husband is absolutely penniless. People laugh behind his back.
Why do people laugh behind the plaintiff's back?
There is no seed in his trousers, Your Honor. He stuffed a comic supplement in there.
Order in the court.
Will the plaintiff take the stand?
Do you swear to tell? Nothing but so help.
I do.
You are this woman's husband, Lester?
Yes, she put me out of the house, Your Honor.
Didn't you contribute to her support?
When we were first married, yes. I was a beanbag stuffer. I made big money, Judge.
When did you stuff your last beanbag, Lester?
In 1932.
Oh, you've been out of the beanbag game 4 years.
Yes, Your Honor. I haven't touched a bean except to scratch my head.
That is all. Will the defendant take the stand?
Do you swear to tell? Nothing but so help.
One thing at a time, you.
Did you eject the plaintiff, Lester Vale, from your domicile, madam?
I'm a lady, Judge. I merely told him to scram.
Have you any income or property?
All I got in the world is a mink cape and a second-hand car.
You see, Judge, she wears a mink cape while her poor husband has Popeye stuffed in the seat of his pants.
Does the plaintiff want a divorce, Counselor?
Yes, and he'd appreciate a little alimony for old time's sake, Judge.
Granted. Since the defendant has no income, the court can only divide her property.
You ain't taking my mink cape and car.
You'll retain your mink cape.
But what about the car, Judge?
Your husband gets the car, madam, but you can see it once a month.
Atlantic City, New Jersey. Dr. William Matha Lewis says that movies, cocktail parties, and bridge owe their amazing popularity to society's inability to enjoy intellectual conversation. Town Hall News shows the great change that has taken place in the pleasant art of conversation in the great American home. First, an evening at home in 1890.
Good evening, Father.
Good evening, Flock.
Let your suspenders down, good husband, and put your aching feet on the hassock.
Verily I will, good wife, as soon as I take off these shoes.
May I pop some corn, Father?
Corn popping is frivolous, Matthew. Why don't you press some flowers in your copy of Pilgrim's Progress instead?
That will be sport, Matthew.
Yes, Mother. May I press a chrysanthemum in the Encyclopedia Britannica, Father?
Yes, son. But press it between C and D. I have a hollyhock setting between F and G.
Yes, Father.
Are you enjoying your meditation, Daughter Prudence?
Yes, Mother. I've been reveling in last Sunday's sermon, in retrospect.
Commendable, Daughter Prudence. And where is your sister, Constance?
Constance is playing dominoes with her latest spark, the spinning wheel repairman.
Ah, Constance is flighty, I fear.
Nay, not as flighty as that Tuller girl next door, Mother.
I saw the Tuller girl on Main Street. The top button on her gaiter was undone.
Oh. Why, Matthew! Matthew, how dare you!
I'm sorry, Mother. I shall wash my mouth with soap.
That Jezebel? That Jezebel will end up running away with a Chautauqua.
I've warned Matthew to shun the Tuller boy, too.
And so I have, Mother, since the day I saw him hiding a police gazette in his poor Richard's almanac.
We must all pray for strength to save us from the degrading influences of these henchmen of Beelzebub.
Praise be.
Alas, I am loath to bring this delightful evening of pleasant discourse to a close, good husband, but the hour is 8.
8 o'clock. Long past our bedtime.
Let us join voices in our good night hymn and retire.
Will you lead on your zither, good wife?
Verily.
But ah, how different today. Listen to the pleasant art of conversation as it is practiced in the great American home today. A typical evening at home in 1936.
Hello, folks.
Hi.
Oh, sir, that's a fine way for you kids to talk to your father, calling him a sap.
Pa is a sap, Ma.
Here, that'll be enough out of you, wise guy.
Yeah, just because you're my old man, don't think I wouldn't take a sock out of you.
Ma, where's your lipstick? In the cocktail shaker.
Where's the key to your car, Pa?
None of your business, son.
Don't let him take the car, Pa. He's got a date with a fan dancer.
Yeah, what's it to you?
Go on, that dame would go out with a tide.
Quiet, you two. Your mother's trying to dope out this racing form.
Oh, pipe down, Ma. Who's got the paper?
I have. So what?
Make him give me the movie section, Pa.
Give your sister the movie sheet, fathead, and hand me over that financial page.
What a joint. I ain't got nothing left to read but the help wanted ad.
Well, read 'em. You ain't gonna live off of me all your life.
Say, what do you know? Guess what's at the Roxy, Ma?
What's at the Roxy? Joan Crawford?
No, it's bank night.
Bank night? Where's my hat?
Bank night? Get my coat.
Bank night? Let's go!
And once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. New York City, New York. The Pulitzer Prize for the leading American novel for 1936 is awarded to Mr. H.L. Davis for his sterling work, his book, Honey in the Horn. The honey.
Where you going, big boy?
The horn.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a scene from a play that did not win the Pulitzer Prize nor the Critics' Award. Possibly the reason it wasn't considered is because it wasn't produced before tonight. Now, in this one scene, which takes place in a restaurant, our heroine says...
Waiter, I'll have the special. Cream of mushroom soup, chicken a la king, mashed potatoes, and tea. And for dessert, Bavarian cream.
Then the waiter says...
Very good, madam.
But her dentist says...
Very bad, madam. Because too many soft, creamy foods don't give your gums the exercise and stimulation they need. And teeth are seldom white and sparkling when gums are soft and tender.
And that's why we say, whenever you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, always massage a little extra Ipana into your gums. Modern dental practice approves it because Ipana, with massage, speeds the circulation and wakens lazy tissues to new life. Don't let neglect mark you down for serious gum trouble. Start today to guard the health of your teeth and gums with this modern, sensible health routine. Ipana and massage. You'll have whiter teeth, firmer gums, and a brighter smile if you'll remember Ipana for the smile of beauty.
I've got a heavy day. Now, on Friday night, the Bedlam College graduation exercises will be held here at the Town Hall. Degrees will be awarded, and Gadwell Spunk, voted by last year's class as most likely to succeed, is hitchhiking back from Baltimore to be the guest of honor. Now, on Sunday... Quiet, please.
Hello.
Well, sir, they laughed when I tried to pick up the check at the nightclub. They didn't know I had buttered the tips of my fingers. If it isn't Portland.
Papa sent me out to get the paper. He's reading about those quadruplets over in Passaic.
Oh, quadruplets are getting pretty common these days. They're 3 a dozen.
That's what Papa says.
Papa says what?
Papa says if you hear a man yelling four, you don't know whether he's playing golf or his wife just had quadruplets.
You know, I hear that over in Jersey now, the baby doctors are traveling around in gangs, just in case.
Papa's betting he's working on a quadruplet baby carriage. It has a trailer.
Gee, that's a swell idea, a baby carriage with a trailer, huh? How does he account for the epidemic of quad?
He says it's just the stork trying to show he can fly as many people as the Hindenburg.
Well, that could be. Anything can happen today. A woman just drove a stagecoach to Atlantic City in 10 hours.
Gosh, I'd like to see the horse make a comeback, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm this way and that way, you know. There weren't so many accidents when folks were driving horses.
I'll say, you're always hearing about Sunday drivers. What are they?
A Sunday driver is a guy with 2 gallons of gas and a desire to see everybody else in an ambulance.
You mean the only thing he misses is the scenery?
Right. If a Sunday driver had any brains, he'd get up in the morning and go right to a hospital. And that gives me an idea.
Oh, I get it. Mr. Crumb, stay away.
Okay, Kurt. You don't have to page Casper Crumb. Just drop a hint. I can hear it a mile away. Come on up, Felix.
Oh, now listen, Portland. Are you trying to make a Noah's Ark out of this place, bringing these people in here 2 by 2?
Hey, no cracks, bud. This could be Noah's Ark at that. Noah had a ham on board.
Now, here.
Mr. Allen is pretty touchy about his acting, Mr. Crumb.
Acting? Why, if this cluck walked on the stage carrying a spear, the spear would get the notices.
Did you see me in that masterpiece, Gigolo's Revenge?
No, but I heard about that turkey. Birds were flying around that show so thick, people had to sit in the theater with their hats on.
Be careful, Mr. Crump. You're apt to make a slip and insult Mr. Allen.
You can't insult any guy with a head like that.
Are you insinuating that I am conceited?
Any guy who ducks his head when he walks under the 6th Avenue L ain't suffering from no inferiority complex.
Don't you want to get in the argument, Felix?
No.
Felix looks as though his mother didn't take his dolls away until it was too late.
That's good.
Hey, watch it, Felix. Don't give till I throw you the cue.
Okay.
I hate to inject a civil note into proceedings, gentlemen, but just what is it you want?
Why, friend, you are now treating your eyes to a close-up of Casper Crumb, the outstanding theatrical agent of this generation.
Yes, Mr. Crumb furnishes all kinds of talent, Mr. Allen.
I guarantee to produce any attraction. From a flea circus to London Fontaine.
And I come in between the two.
Felix here can put your program on the map, Mr. Allen.
And what does Felix do?
Imitation. Name your sounds, folks, and Felix will go to town.
How about a homing pigeon who's already there?
Hey, quit the clowning, bud.
How about cider coming out of a bottle?
Okay, let's go, Felix.
Now, wait a minute. This is a high-class program. Change that cider to champagne.
Okay. Hey, Felix, give us that champagne bottle.
How's that?
Gosh, that was swell, Felix.
Why, you ain't heard nothing yet. Hey, come on, Felix, what's next?
I feel a foghorn coming on.
Okay, folks, a foghorn.
How's that?
It sounded more like indigestion to me.
Hey, no cracks, stupid. The last time Felix did that foghorn, a mist fell over the city.
Can you do a Jersey cow, Felix?
Well, not a Jersey cow. He does a Philadelphia heifer. Give out, Felix.
Why, that sounded like the foghorn to me.
Hey, that was a cow, buddy. What do you want him to do, give milk?
Don't get excited, Mr. Crumb. What else do you do, Felix?
His pasty insistence. Now get a load of this lion roar. Hey, the lion, Felix.
That was a lion.
It's still a foghorn as far as I'm concerned.
What?
If that wasn't a foghorn, I'll eat my hat.
That hat might look better in your stomach than it does on your head, Mr. Allen.
Why, I've seen better-looking heads rolling down bowling alleys.
Now, here, don't change the subject. All I say is this guy is a walking foghorn.
Okay. If you can make a foghorn out of this next imitation, I'll eat your hat if you'll get it cleaned.
What's this next one, Mr. Crumb?
Give us the chicken, Felix. I
I suppose that was a foghorn, wise guy.
Yeah, you've got to admit that was a chicken, Mr. Allen.
Well, it wasn't exactly a chicken, but Felix laid an egg as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah? And that egg with you makes it ham and egg for my money.
We better go, Felix.
I ain't leaving till this bum admits that that chicken wasn't no foghorn.
All right, all right. It was a chicken in a fog.
Yeah, the chicken ain't the only one in a fog.
I get it. So long, boys. Goodbye, Portland.
Tally ho!
Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the boys strut out on the stage, out of step, as Pullman waiters, to sing you Dinah.
Dinah, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there isn't, you know her, show her to me. Dinah, with the Dixie eyes blazing, how I love to sit and gaze into the eyes of Donna Lee. Mmm, every night, why do I shake with pride? Because my dynamite changed her mind about me. Donna, if you want to be China, I would hop an ocean liner just to be with Donna Lee. I want to be with Donna Lee. Carolina gave me Dinah. I'm the proudest one beneath the Dixie sun. News is spreading, proud of wedding. I hear church bells ringing. Here's a song my heart keeps singing.
Dinah,
Dinah,
is there anyone finer?
Dinah,
in the state of Carolina.
Carolina.
If there isn't, you know her.
Oh, show her to me, Donna.
How I love to sit and gaze into the eyes of Donna Lee.
Please tell me every night, why do I shake with pride? Because my Donna might change her mind about me, but I couldn't change my mind about Donna. If she wanted to China, I would hop an ocean liner just to be with Donna Lee. Donna.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Unaccustomed as I am
unaccustomed as you are to being funny.
Now, they don't listen now, Harry, but I think I'm being hedged.
Well, you know, I think I recognize that voice, Fred.
Really?
Let me handle the situation, will you? What can I do for you, my good man?
Get off the air.
Uh-huh, I thought so. It's Beetle. Listen, Beetle, you've got your dates mixed. This isn't Phil Baker. You remember me. I'm Harry Von Zell, and this is Fred Allen.
Oh, yeah, I know the juggler.
The what? Hey. No, no, he's not a juggler. He's a comedian.
He's a what?
A funny man.
Yeah, well, then I'm queen of the gypsies.
Now, Beetle, listen, another crack like that. Another crack like that, and I'll petition Congress to keep Phil Baker on the air for life.
Oh, Mr. Von Zell, not that.
Oh. I guess that'll hold him for a while, Fred. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope this ghostly grouch hasn't spoiled your whole day. As a matter of fact, I hope you won't let any kind of a grouch spoil any of your days. Especially when they're so easy to get rid of.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I know so. Because, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're feeling not fit to live with, you know, dull, logy, and under par, there are usually two things that cause it. Waste in your body and acid in your system. So if you just put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Apatica in a glass of water and drink it, you'll be surprised at how quickly you'll be feeling alert, alive, and your old normal self again. Because Sal Apatica is the mineral salt laxative that does 2 things, not just one. It rids your body of waste, and it also combats acidity. So you'll have healthier, happier days if you'll always remember Sal Apatica for the smile of health. Well, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players, and they'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
gentlemen, the Mighty Allen Art Players, the only actors in the theater today able to cope with any emergency. When the audience at South Bend rushed into the streets after the first act of Hamlet, the Mighty Allen Art Players played the second act in the streets, and the audience rushed back into the theater. Tonight, they present a drama of the radio studios entitled The Comedian's Plight, or Only a Radio Comedian Can Go From Gags to Riches. Overture, Peter.
All right, now, quiet. Quiet, quiet, everybody. Let's have the studio quiet, please.
I ain't talking, Mr. Franco.
All right, Minnie. Now, listen, folks. This radio program goes on the air in just 5 minutes.
I'm ready. I got my joke book right here.
Yeah, and you better be funny tonight, Bolivar. Mr. McGregor, the sponsor, is kicking about the comedy on this program.
Oh, I'll make radio history tonight, folks.
Are you going to tell a new joke?
Now, here. Now, quiet. Quiet, everybody. We're just going to run over the routine of the show now before we get on the air. You said, band leader?
Yeah. After the announcement, McGregor's mothballs are on the air. The band goes into I'm Laying All My Eggs in One Waistcoat.
That's right, that's right. Then the quartet, are you set, boys?
Yeah, we're singing the moth song, got a brand new suit.
Right again, right again. Then Bolivar the Buffoon, are you ready, Bolivar?
As the guy said when they started to cremate him, am I hot tonight?
Yes, I hope so. Then the commercial.
We're okay, Mr. Franco.
All set. Now, stand by, everybody. We've got just about 3 minutes.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
How's our sponsor tonight?
I'll know better after I've heard the program. Is everything prepared?
Yes, it's all set, Mr. McGregor. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Oh, I'll murder you tonight, Mr. McGregor.
Or vice versa. You're getting $1,000 a week. You're no comedian, Bolivar. You're a robber.
Well, it sure looks like great entertainment, boss.
Never mind the entertainment. What about the commercial?
Oh, it's a knockout. Folks, let's run through the commercial once for Mr. McGregor.
All right.
We're ready.
Okay, let's go.
Darling, sweetheart.
Sweetheart, darling.
Who's at the door?
My wife.
Where can I hide, darling?
Quick, in the clothes closet. Hurry.
Close the door.
Coming, pigeon. How are you, wifey?
Don't wifey me. There's a woman in this house.
Oh, don't be silly.
Who's in that closet?
Why, I'm...
Stand back while I open the door. Well, madam, what are you doing in my clothes closet?
I'm putting McGregor's mothballs in your gown.
And don't forget, folks, McGregor's mothballs come in 16 delicious flavors. Fill your mouth with good taste. Look for the slogan in the big red letters. McGregor's mothballs fortify
in the correct answer, half past what? Win the first prize in our travel company to see Europe as the guest of the McGregor Mothball Company. The winner of this half past contest will be taken down to the Queen Mary by Mr. McGregor himself. Mr. McGregor personally will show the lucky winner just where to stow away.
And now, McGregor's Mothballs are on the air. Music by the Mothball Melodiers. Singing by that mothball quartet, the Eaton Boys.
We want camper, we want camper.
And laughs from Bolivar the Baboon.
Hello, 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 hello.
I was going to call you folks, but you look all wet to me.
Well, I was, hello, soak. I was, I'm stuck.
Oh, come on, get funny, Bolivar.
I can't. You better make an announcement.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Bolivar the Buffoon has been taken suddenly ill at the microphone. The studio orchestra will now play I'll Be Glad When You're Dead, you rascal, you.
What is the matter, Bolivar?
Some thief stole my joke book. I'm ruined.
I told you to copy your gags into the script.
I don't copy no jokes. I'm the only comedian in radio reading the jokes right out of the magazine.
But look, Mr.
Mr. McGregor will go nuts. The program went off the air before we did the mothball scene.
It ain't my fault. I put my joke book right here on the chair, that chair there, during rehearsal.
Lock the door, somebody.
What kind of a book was it, Bolivar?
A big black one. The jokes were pasted inside.
Now here, can you identify it, Bolivar?
Can I? The top joke on the first page is, how many hairs on a pig's face?
What's the answer?
You wouldn't know. You don't shave.
You're in for it, Bolivar. Here's Mr. McGregor. What kind of a comedian are you, man? I'm paying $1,000. What do I get? Hello, soap.
I was only warming up, boy.
Why did you go off the air, Franco?
Somebody stole Bolivar's joke book. What did we do?
Joke book or no joke book? If Bolivar's not ready to go on the air again in 10 minutes, he's fired. Listen, you better find that joke book, Bolivar. It couldn't walk away.
Those jokes are too old to walk.
Whoever took it couldn't get far.
Well, now, let's look through the studios on this floor.
Yes, we'd better do that. Let's go.
Well, this first studio's empty, Bolivar.
Now, who's in this next one?
Send me down my walking
Fellas, just a minute, fellas.
What's up, two neighbors?
Who's rehearsing in here?
The Prairie Gigolos. We're hillbillies.
Did any of you cow contralto steal my joke book?
Creepers, no. We can't even read.
No. Okay, boys, thanks.
Who's rehearsing in this studio?
I don't know. Open the door.
This is your Hollywood crier, folks. Flash. Love in the doorway is a 3-pew picture. Pew, pew, pew.
Just a minute, buddy.
You're interrupting the Hollywood crier's dress rehearsal, gentlemen. I'll beat it.
Well, let's try this next studio.
Okay.
What's the best way to raise corned beef and cabbage? Yeah, yeah. On a dumb waiter. Yeah.
Just a minute, friend. Who's rehearsing in here?
We are picking shoes, the minstrel man.
You boys haven't seen Bolivar the Buffoon's joke book.
Joke book?
Yes. It's a big black book. On the first page, it says, how many hairs on a pig's face?
No, sir, we don't use no sophisticated stuff like that. We're still telling jokes out of the farmer's almanac.
There's nobody else on this floor. It just isn't here.
Then somebody in our own studio must have taken it.
Let's go back and find out.
Yes.
Any luck, Bolivar? Did you find it?
No, I didn't.
You've got 10 minutes to get funny, Bolivar. I'm paying you $1,000 a week.
Bolivar and I have been in every other studio, Mr. McGregor, and the joke book isn't there.
Then where is it?
It must be here. The thief is right here in this very room.
You don't think anybody in the cast would steal your joke book, Bolivar?
No, not a brother performer. But I've got my suspicions.
Bolivar, you're fired.
Not so fast, Belshazzar McGregor. What are those corners under your overcoat?
Well, I've got a square stomach.
Open that coat or I'll tear it off you.
Here, let me hold on. Get this arrangement. I'll bolt.
Wait, you can't hit the sponsor, Bolivar.
Let me free.
I'll show you. Just get me this top button here. I'll rip this thing. I knew it. What dropped from under his coat, folks?
Your joke book.
I told you. And there stands the thief. The president of the McGregor Mothball Company.
I'm caught with Miss Foran down, folks. This is terrible, Mr. McGregor. Haven't you anything to say?
I've plenty to say. I'm sick of paying all that money to Bolivar.
But what's that got to do with stealing my original joke book?
For $1,000 a week, I can read the jokes myself.
Thank you. And now a special bulletin from Harge White on vacation. Harge says if you want to go to the mountains and your wife wants to go to the seashore, compromise and go to the seashore. Harge also says don't fill your trunks with Eskimo suits and snowshoes and then suddenly decide to go to Florida. You can only take certain things certain places.
Oh, excuse me, Fred, now. I don't want to disagree with Harge, but there's one thing you can and should take no matter where you go. And that's a bottle of sal hepatica.
Well, Hodge didn't say anything about that, Harry.
Well, maybe Hodge didn't, Fred, but authorities do. They say that whenever you go away on a vacation and eat different food, drink different water, and keep irregular hours, it's very apt to upset you, to rob you of your buoyancy. Well, that's because two things are present, waste in your body and acid in your system. And that's why we suggest you take sal hepatica, the mineral salt laxative especially designed to rid your body of waste. And also combat your acidity. Vacation days should be the happiest, healthiest days of the year. Make every one of them that way by remembering sal hepatica for the smile of health.
¶¶
amateur contest. Here comes Fred Allen leading the winners of this week's Town Hall Amateur Audition. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our amateurs tonight were selected from hundreds of applicants who were heard at this week's audition. Now, tonight, these boys and girls compete for a first prize of $50 and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, and a second prize of $25 in cash. Now, you folks here in the town hall will select your own winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the two acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may select your winners for first and second prizes. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to have you meet a young gentleman, I might say. That's all right with you, isn't it, Paul? From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Master Paul Ernst. How old are you, Paul?
16.
16, huh? Yes. You don't look 16. Probably has shrunk up a little on the way. But you recently won an amateur contest held out in Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
What contest was it? Mr. DiCarlo's?
Yes, sir.
And how many boys and girls competed in it?
Well, at the finals, there was about 14 acts, and then there were 6 eliminated from them and 2 picked.
And 2 selected, and then you won the final prize, eh?
Yes.
And what was the prize?
It was a trip to New York and back to get an audition on this program.
Well, that's fine. We're certainly happy to have you here tonight, Paul, and glad to know that you've been seeing what's left of our famous city. Have you enjoyed your sightseeing?
Very much.
You have. Where have you been?
Oh, we've been down to the aquarium.
Did you go to the aquarium?
Yes, sir.
Well, the aquarium is nice, but after all, if you rush for time, you don't really have to go to the aquarium. You can just get the thing in your mind, and the aquarium is really a fish market on Resurrection Day. I mean, it just saves your trip downtown. Uh-huh. Where else did you go? Did you go to Coney Island or up Riverside Drive?
We're up there.
You're not too tired to play on your xylophone, are you?
No, sir.
Your xylophone having a good time, too?
I hope so.
Uh-huh. What are you going to play for us tonight?
12th Street Rag.
12th Street Rag. Well, you go right ahead. Master Paul Ernst from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You all right? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, New York, Miss Miriam Koppelman. And how are you tonight, Miss Koppelman?
Very well, thank you.
Were you born? You don't mind if I ask you a few questions, do you?
Not at all.
I didn't mean to break off in the... that was rather stupid. It was tended to show that my eyesight was failing. I didn't mean to break off in the middle of the sentence like that. I meant to say, were you born in Brooklyn?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't? Mm-hmm. You're just not going to leave me hanging in doubt like that, are you? Do you mind telling us where you were?
I was born in Harbin, China.
In China, really?
Yes.
And you came from China to this country?
Yes.
Where? In the east here or in the east?
I lived out west, in Portland, Oregon.
In China? To Portland, Oregon?
Yes.
And then where did you go?
Then I came to New York.
And you came to New York, and then you went to Brooklyn, huh?
Yes.
Gosh, that seems to be rather a roundabout way to get to Brooklyn when you... Just go down in the subway and pay a nickel and gad, you're right there. You might stay for even notes. But did you speak any languages from the different countries you've been in?
Yes, you see, I was educated in a French convent in China, and I spoke only French for 9 years. And then I speak Russian at home, Chinese, and a little of English.
Well, you do very well with English. You're showing me up right at the moment. But do you sing in all of these languages, too?
Yes, I do.
And how old are you?
17.
God. The best, you can just sit back on your laurels if you're so inclined. Yes. Linguistically, I might say. My grandmother sang in several languages. She was Irish, and she used to sing Spanish songs. And the neighbors used to say that she would sing these Spanish camellias. They used to say they could hear the castanet in her voice. They didn't know that it was my grandmother's false teeth he bought to her. Well, Miriam, what would you like to sing tonight? I'm sorry to have bored you with my troubles.
Not at all.
But what would you like to sing tonight?
Well, I'm going to be a soprano tonight, singing Tango de la Rosa.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, from Troy, New York, may I introduce the Kelleher family, Mr. Neil Kelleher and his three sons. Good evening, Mr. Kelleher. Mr. Neil Kelleher and his three sons. Good evening, Mr. Kelleher.
Yes, sir.
You are the father, I imagine.
Father.
Well, how old are the boys, you mind saying?
Donald is 10, Neil is 12.
How are you, Neil?
Ned here is 16.
16, 10, and 12. Hey, how are you, fellas?
Very well.
How are things in Troy? Very well. They talk in groups, don't they? Saves a lot of trouble. I'm accused of doing that a lot of times myself. But certainly it's a pleasure to see such a happy family together, Mr. Kelleher. How did you decide to get the quartet together?
Oh.
Any particular reason?
No particular reason at all.
I thought perhaps you got spanking them when they were young and found that they all yelled in different keys. And it might have... Well, it certainly is a pleasure to see such a happy family here together, all the boys. There are so many children, through lack of home influence or something, running around doing all sorts of things today. I read about a tough baby today. 8 months old, stuck up a nurse, and got away with 3 bottles of paragolic. Well, all right. What are you going to sing, Mr. Kelleher, with the Kelleher gang?
Goody, goody.
Goody, goody.
And Wahoo.
And Wahoo. Thank you very much.
Someone who set your back on your heel. Goody, goody. Or you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody. Or you gave them your heart too. Just as I gave mine to you.
Hey, those little teachers, now how do you do? Oh, you lie awake just singing the blues all night. Goody, goody, hey, think I love the barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to you. Goody for him, yeah, but goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, you rest of you.
Kelleher and his three lovely boys from Troy, New York. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present also from Pittsburgh, Miss Edith, how do you pronounce your last name?
Elias.
Elias, huh? I didn't know whether it was Alias with the E in front or Elias with the capital, But you were also in Mr. DiCarlo's contest in Pittsburgh, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
And did you win the first prize for girls?
Yes, sir. Runner-up. After first prize,
you're running up, right? And you do whistling?
And bird imitation.
Bird imitation? How did you how did you get the show that you could imitate the birds? By observing them or studying them or how?
Oh, I listened to them intently.
I mean, you didn't just climb up in trees and get... I knew a friend of mine that used to be an old seagull imitator. He had a lot of trouble, though. He... He couldn't get near enough to the gulls to study the gull call, the native gull call, you see. He tried different methods to lead the gulls on. He used to give a dead fish handshake, but that didn't help much. And then finally he solved the whole thing. He put an outboard motor on his back and the gulls thought he was the wrong end of a boat and finally got close enough to him, and he made a thorough study. And became a very expert, I might say, gull impersonator, and then found out there was nothing for a gull impersonator to do after he had met. But, Miss Elias, you are going to whistle. Do you mind if, shall I read? Your first imitation is Bob White. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The second is a whippoorwill. The red bird. Robin. Canary. In the Pittsburgh contest. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present from Middleborough, Massachusetts, Mr. Charles Whitney. You live in Middleborough, Mr. Whitney?
In Lakeville, just out of Middleborough.
Oh, just outside of Middleborough.
Yes,
I haven't been to Middleborough for good many years. I don't imagine anyone's missed me around there. You haven't heard any talk, have you? Middleborough is a very nice, very charming city, I might say. Doesn't Mickey Cochran come from up around there someplace?
Comes from Bridgewater, just 7 miles from Middleborough.
From Bridgewater, huh? He went to BU, the Boston University. They sort of claim him as their favorite son up in Boston. I suppose they have to split the glory these days. But Uncle Jim tells me that tonight in Middleborough, the town hall there is having some sort of a concert, too. Is that right?
Yes, they are, Mr. Allen.
What sort of a contest or... is it an entertainment or...?
I have an orchestra, a 7-piece boys orchestra there, and William Earl from station WHGH is there this evening at an amateur show that I was putting on. But when I was called here, why, Mr. Earl is directing it for me.
Oh. Well, they won't be able to hear us there in Middleborough tonight here, will they?
The radio concern there in Middleborough has put in the radio with an amplifier, and they are broadcasting this entertainment here. They're at the...
Oh, from our town hall, it's going into the Middleborough town hall, huh?
That's right.
Well, we're certainly getting our money's worth tonight. It'll be just town hall to death all over. But you you do trick piano playing, do you?
That's right.
Well, would you like to go right ahead? I don't know. What is it you do?
Tonight I'll sit underneath the piano and play a piece, and stand on my head and play a piece.
Not both at the same time. I mean, it is one.
One following the other.
It isn't a duet. I mean, you just don't go creeping around there. Well, which you're going to do first? Lie under the piano and play a selection?
First.
All right. You can go right ahead, if you will. Meantime, I'll send our greetings to the folks at the Middleborough Town Hall. You all set? Mr. Whitney was hiding under the piano there. I should have said, ladies and gentlemen, that this is the first time Mr. Whitney has played that particular number in some time. He had another song prepared for us tonight, but unfortunately we couldn't get permission to play the number on the air. So at the last minute, he's now preparing to stand on his head. Rachmaninoff could only play sitting down. It really... Now... Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, from the Bronx, I think you better stand over here, Miss Nathan, if you don't mind. You can see the piano player. Miss Lucille Nathan from the Bronx. You are from the Bronx, aren't you?
I am.
We're very happy to have you here tonight, Miss Nathan, with your sunny disposition. I imagine with your sunny smile that there are plenty of vitamin Ds being spread around as you smile. Vitamins come from everything, you know. I better not talk. I was reading an ad today. Vitamins can come from your smiles. I saw an ad today someplace the Schlitz beer has vitamin D beer with sunshine in it now. Imagine going into a tavern and coming out with a sunburn and your thirst all fixed up at the same time. Would you like to sing tonight?
I'd like to sing It's a Sin to Tell a Lie.
It's a Sin to Tell a Lie. Thank you.
Be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie. Millions of hearts have been broken just because these words. yes, I do. I love you. If you break my heart, I'll die. So be sure it's true when you say I love you. It's a sin to tell a lie.
Thank you. That was Miss Lucille Nathan from the Bronx. And that concludes our amateur contest for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Now, while I see what the applause machine has to say, Harry steps up to the microphone with a fact and a hope. All right, Harry.
Here is the fact, ladies and gentlemen. The Bristol-Myers Company would like you to know that this is National First Aid Week. Won't you check over your medicine cabinet and get the emergency supplies you may need in the middle of the night or in case of accident? And here is the hope. We sincerely hope you've enjoyed Town Hall tonight. If you have, won't you remember during the week the two products that make this and every Wednesday with Fred Allen possible? Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the results?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the two acts we've called back on the stage. Three acts because there is a tie at the moment for second place. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of these boys and girls, as I call the names, and to ask you to kindly applaud just once again and select your winners for first and second prizes. First, from Troy, New York, the Kelleher family. Then the young lady from Brooklyn, Miss Miriam Koppelman. And then the boy with the xylophone from Pittsburgh, Paul Ernst. Thank you. What does the machine say, Harry? The first prize, $50 in cash and a week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City, goes to Paul Ernst, the little xylophone player. The rating is 98.5. The second prize, $25 in cash, goes to Miss Miriam Koppelman of Brooklyn, New York. I want to thank you all for coming. I'm sorry we all couldn't win. Fred Allen saying good night, ladies and gentlemen, until next Wednesday night, when you are invited to join us for another hour of smiles at the Old Town Hall. And don't forget, only 41 more days to Stupnagel and Bud. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.